Turn with me this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. And for a starter, we'll just begin reading. We have the account here of the book of the genealogy or the generation of Adam, and then it shows all the genealogy, and it says that Adam lived 100, verse 3, Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Notice how the Scripture emphasizes that, the son in his own likeness. Remember, Adam was put out of the garden. He was a sinner. He sinned against God and had a sinful nature. And all of his children after him were born with a sinful nature, able to sin against God. And after he in his image, and he named him Seth, and he begot Seth. The days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. And so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And as you go down the list of the names in this chapter, it always ends up with what? And he died. No matter how long he lived, and he died. Some of our scientists and medical men tell us, and I was in a clinic back in 81, 82, taking chelation treatments for my heart. They had a lot of people sitting around the circle taking these chelation treatments. And I used to read some of the books, because it took a couple hours for this to happen, and listen to the conversations of many. One man was a professor, and reading some of these books and hearing the comments, they felt that the day would come when they would have the ability to keep us living forever. I kid you not. And when you mention what the Bible says, it stirs a lot of commotion, which it did. And I had a chance to talk to a few of them, but not to much avail. But anyway, this is what man thinks he can do. But you know what God says? The dying Adam would die, and then a couple of thousand years later in the book of Hebrews it says, and it is appointed unto men once to die. We all have an appointment, and we will not be late. God says it's appointed unto men once to die. But that's not all. But after this is the judgment. God will judge men for their sin. It's known as the Great White Throne Judgment. But when that is set up, there's no chance of escaping it. And there's no chance of escaping hell, because only those who have not received the love of the truth will be before God at their white throne judgment. And his pronouncement will be, depart from me, I never knew you. I'm sure there will be people at the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm just conjecturing a little bit. We know that every mouth will be stopped, but maybe they said something before they finally stopped. We don't know. But they might have given some excuses. the Lord said no, if that judgment, the pronouncement will be eternal damnation. For those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will not be at that judgment seat. They will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus forever and ever. Now, verse 24, we're going to read about a mysterious man in Genesis. In verse 18, we'll pick it up there. A man named Jared lived 162 years and then begot Enoch. And after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Then it says Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. We all have heard of that name before. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then it goes on with the rest of them. This one was born, and he lived, and he died, and so forth. It's like a big cemetery with all these tombstones, and all of a sudden you find an arch of triumph. Somebody that's not here. Somebody that it says God took him, Enoch. Now it's interesting about this man Enoch, we're not told a whole lot, but the main thing it says is that he walked with God for 300 years. Now they lived much longer in those days than we do now. But he lived 65 years, and then a child was born named Methuselah, the man who lived longer than anybody, 969 years. And then after that, he walked with God for 300 years. Now let's look over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And this is the great faith chapter in the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 11, of all these people that lived by faith. Faith in God. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Verse 5 says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Or he was translated, you may say in your Bible, carried over, that he did not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we're told that Enoch was a man of faith. He had faith in God. And it says that he pleased God before he was taken away, mysteriously taken away by God, it says that he pleased God. Now, none of us are born into this world pleasing God. As we already said, we're born into this world, we're sinners, we have a sinful nature, and the Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sins. And this is where you have no spiritual life, and we're born into this world. So there had to be a time in the life of Enoch when he began to walk with God. There had to be a time in his life. Something had happened to Enoch. Now, we're not told very much. Some of the biographies in the Bible are quite lengthy. Some men take up quite a bit of space in the Bible. Take David, for instance. All the chapters about David, and I think David's the most mentioned in the New Testament of the Old Testament characters. But Enoch, we're just given this brief biography of his life. But there's nothing wrong with us when we take the rest of Scripture and try to fill in his life. For we know that nobody is born into this world walking with God. Now I hear certain people talking, well, I've known God all my life, or I walk with the man and so forth. But no one can claim to be walking with God. And John says no one can claim that he has fellowship with God unless he is brought in somehow. There has to be a beginning to these people's lives. Now, first of all, who was Enoch? It seems that he was just an ordinary man. He was a family man. It doesn't say that he was a statesman. He was a king. We have statesmen. We have kings. We have men that are prominent in the Bible who God has used. But it seems here that we just have an ordinary person. And that's encouraging because it doesn't take any particular status to say that they could walk with God. Anyone has that possibility of walking with God. Now, what do we mean when we say walking with God? It isn't a physical thing. No man has seen God at any time, but yet we can walk with God. It really means to live with God. Another word that is used in the Bible is conversation. We have our conversation in this world. That means our manner of life, our conduct, the way we live. And even the law, at one time, the law, the Ten Commandments, all the 613 of the commandments in the Old Testament, at one time it began to be called the walk. The walk. So in Bible times, this word had to do with the way we live, our walk. And we find two men, outstanding men in the Bible, it says they walked with God. One is Enoch, and the one is in this very chapter, and the next chapter is Noah. We all know about Noah. Now also it says in Malachi chapter 2 that Levi walked with God. Some kind of overlook that, and maybe they don't know it's there, but it does say that he walked with God. Well, anyway, these two main characters, the one we're dealing with today is Enoch. So we see that he was just an ordinary person. But it says that he pleased God, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Now, the faith in the Bible is not faith in faith. A lot of people today give you that idea. They have faith in faith. But faith has to be in something. And the faith of the Bible is faith in God. And in our day and in the New Testament, it is faith in God as revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we put our faith in God's Word, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, This is the first step in pleasing God. It says, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So faith in the Bible is faith in God. Faith in His Word. Faith in what He says. Faith is taking God at His Word. So Enoch, it says, he pleased God because he had faith. Now, when did this faith begin? It says that Enoch began to walk with God after his son Methuselah was born. The birth of a first child can make a change in any family. Usually, the arrival of that first child brings concern. It brings responsibility. It even changes a little bit between husband and wife. And particularly that first child. If you're, oh boy, all of a sudden we have a child. What do we do? And I think that's important to young families. We have young families here today. But I think when you're raising your children, and no one is perfect, right? I think our children should know when we made a mistake. Hey, look, you're the first child. I'm learning how to raise children. I think we should be honest with them sometimes when we make mistakes. But anyway, why did he begin, it seems, to walk with God when Methuselah was born? The meaning of his name probably gives us the answer. And many of the theologians believe that because God said nothing to him, at least that we know of. Now, God might have. God might have given him some kind of warning, some kind of voice, some kind of vision, but we're not told that. But it does leave us to have a sanctified imagination. Because the meaning of his name is this: when he dies, it will come. When he dies. Now what the it would be was probably the flood in Noah's time. The flood of Noah. I'm sure when we find out the truth, it should have an effect upon us to know that one day judgment is coming. As we know, the flood of Noah wiped out the whole earth, except, and Peter emphasizes this, in which few people were saved. Just 8 people, Noah and his family, because he believed God also. He walked with God. Now there's another judgment coming on this world, and it won't be by water, it will be by fire. It's called the Great Tribulation. And I think we have a picture of the tribulation here. We have Enoch, who was taken before the tribulation came, the tribulation of the flood. He's taken out, perhaps a picture of the church, or those who believe in Christ when he comes again. And then we see Noah and his family going through the tribulation, but safe in the ark. And we know there will be those who will be going through this awful 7 years of tribulation. There will be those who survive it. Those who are called the remnant of God's people, particularly the Jews, who will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom during that time. And they will be saved through that tribulation because they also have faith in the Word of God. Now, when we think of Enoch and his faith, There must have been a time when he came to know God. Remember when Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden? You remember their son, Cain and Abel? I'm sure Adam and Eve, or maybe God again, we don't know how God revealed to them that to take the blood sacrifice, the blood of a lamb. Remember when Abel, it says that Abel offered a sacrifice that was acceptable to God, indicating that he was righteous. He did the right thing. He sacrificed the lamb when he came to God and obtained witness that he was righteous. But Cain did not believe God. He offered a sacrifice of his own making, his own doing, offering the fruit of the ground. You know, these lives, these long lives, overlapped one another by quite a few years. So they had great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and great-great-great-grandchildren in these days because of the length of the lives they lived. So I'm sure the knowledge of these things had passed down. Although the time was a very wicked time in which Enoch lived, but yet there must have been some knowledge of this. The way to please God would be through sacrifice. So anyway, there was a time in which Enoch was able to walk in communion and fellowship with God. In the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter and the 3rd verse, it says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Well, that's true, isn't it? People that agree usually fellowship together, don't they? We know there are all kinds of clubs and societies based on mutual interests, mutual clubs. We have the Odd Fellows Society. Then we have the Strange Fellows Society. Whatever you want to call it. People flock together because they have a common interest, a common agreement. So there had to be a time when Enoch started to agree with God. Again, we're not given a lot of information of what he would agree about, but I feel that God in some way revealed himself to them in the age, they're living in the age we call the age of conscience. And God would speak to their conscience. Although man fell, and he lost a lot when he fell in the Garden of Eden, yet he retained a certain degree of conscience. As we were discussing on Wednesday night, conscience is a word that means something I know, but not just I know, but somebody else knows it as well. Now, nobody else may ever know some secret you have. Oh, no. There is one who knows, God. And that's where conscience, we believe, has been retained to some degree. So Enoch had a time in his life when he believed God, he had faith, a time when he had to agree with God. You know what the word confession means? In Romans chapter 10, it says that if man, any of us, confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, or confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and believes in their heart that God raised them from the dead, they will be saved. Now the word confession, confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Lord, really means to agree. To confess to God is to agree with God. And what are we agreeing about? We're agreeing that we are sinners, because God said we were. We're agreeing with that. Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. And your Son, you've told us, is the Lord. He's the Savior. That's what his name means. Jesus, the Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. So when we confess to God that Jesus is the Lord, he is the one, the Savior, who died to take away our sin, we are agreeing with God. We are saying to God, yes, guilty as charged. You said we're guilty, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we agree with God. So Enoch had to somewhere along the line begin his walk with God, to agree with God. As I said before, when we become saved and know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, immediately we should begin a walk with God. In fact, when we get baptized, confessing and showing openly our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, showing that we have died with him, are buried with him, and been raised again to a new life, what does it say? That we should what? Walk in newness of life. Walking in a new life. So every Christian really begins their life in a walk with God. And every one of us can walk with the Lord. And when we walk in fellowship with him, we want to do the things that are pleasing to God. As we said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, when Enoch began his walk with God, I'm sure he just started with baby steps. That's the way we all start. But we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now again, we have to think. It says he walked with God. There had to be agreement. He had to learn about God. Now, Enoch didn't have a Bible in his hand to learn how to walk with God. So there must have been communion. There must have been some way in which God showed him the things that would please him. To walk with God, there would have to be a moral condition. Remember, God is a holy God. And Peter tells us that, be holy, for I am holy. So when we walk with the Lord, as Enoch does, there must be holiness in our life. There must be that renouncing of the things that would displease God. Remember it says, for he had this testimony that he pleased God. I think the equivalent in the New Testament would be the Apostle Paul in walking with the Lord, and many others in the New Testament, but he comes to mind. It says, for me to live is Christ. To me, living is Christ. This is what life is all about right now. It is Christ. We used to sing in Youth for Christ, Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. Well, that's good to sing, but we really have to learn what that's all about, don't we? And God has this desire for every one of us, of his children, that we'd walk in fellowship and communion with him. Excuse me. And I'm sure what Enoch would say every morning as he would rise. And the thoughts of what he's doing, remember, he's a family man. He's raising children. Nothing is said about his wife. I hope she's not like Job's wife. Then he would really have trouble. And every day as he would get up, I would wonder if he would say, "This is what I plan to do." But will this please the Lord? Remember again, the Apostle Paul said, "If I pleased men, then I'm not pleasing the Lord." And how easy it is for us, me included, to let the world, let people dictate what we're going to do. Now, we have responsibilities, absolutely. Things we have to do. The Bible says a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. We have our everyday chores. But yet at the same time, the Bible says whatever we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now that's a pretty big order. All except washing the dishes. All except scrubbing the floor. All except watching TV. Oh boy, here we go, TV. What are we going to look at tonight? Oh, that's good. Will this please the Lord? I wonder if Enoch had a TV, whether he walked with God 300 years. Now, I'm not condemning TV. Oh, yes, I am. Not entirely. We know there are good things on it. Some people can handle certain things. Some people can't. Some people can take a drink. Don't bother them. Some people can't because it will bother them. To make them want more and more and more. So when we sing, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. I wonder if Enoch wrote that. Because it must have been a glorious communion, day by day, through all his shores, never losing sight of the Lord and His claims. Think again of David. "I have set the Lord always before my face. For he is at my right hand that I should not be moved." Did David walk with the Lord? I believe so. He had his ups and downs. I think there was a time when the Lord said, "There's only one finger here. Keep coming. Grab more. Grab on to me, you're slipping back." You know, God never lowers his standards, does he? We have to raise our standards in order to walk with God. Remember what we said before, that God is holy. Holiness, we think mostly when we think of holiness of negative things, and it's very true. We don't do this. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't go here. We shouldn't do that. He says, "Come out from the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Now, aren't we his sons and daughters? Yes, we are. Positionally, because of our faith in the Lord Jesus, we're his sons and daughters, although we're all called sons, but quoting from the Old Testament, we never cease to be a son of God. Of anything we may do, if we're really saved and know the Lord is our Savior. But we can lose that fellowship with God because of worldly ambitions, because of sin. Sin puts a separation between us and God. But thank God that every break in our walk with God can be restored. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Because the Word of God says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In 2 Corinthians 6 we read, what communion hath light with darkness? We're not supposed to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There is a separation between the world and the Christian. Romans 12 was referred to this morning. We all know that verse in Romans 12. To present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service or our intelligent worship. And be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to renew our minds in the things of God. If we're going to walk with the Lord, if we're going to please Him, we have to renew our minds. We have to continually read the Word of God to cleanse our way and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we think of the results. Or rather, Enoch's, I want to look a little more again at his background. One more thing. Turn to the book of Jude. It's important to bring this in. Is it easy to walk with the Lord? There will be difficulties. We have to work at it. And when we're walking with the Lord, we have a testimony. When we learn more and more about the Lord and what He requires, we also have a burden for those around us. Because to please the Lord, we have to be a witness. We have to be a testimony. He wants us to spread the word concerning Him and His love for us. Verse 14 of Jude. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. These are false teachers and exceeding sinful men, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. These are grumblers and complainers. I just threw that last word in there because grumblers and complainers is in almost every list in the Scriptures of those that are apart from God. Grumbling, murmurers, and complainers. Even lists for Christians. Now Enoch lived and testified for God. You can't walk with the Lord in close harmony and fellowship and keep your mouth shut to those around you. And it says here he prophesied. Didn't say he was a prophet, but he prophesied. He told, well, he would be a prophet in that sense perhaps in the Old Testament, but he was telling those and warning those around him. What did it say just before the flood of Noah? The imagination and wickedness of man's hearts were only evil continually. Enoch was probably a lonely man. To walk with God, there can be loneliness. people will misunderstand you. Oh, you're going in a little too much for that. After all, we have to live in this world, you know. Loosen up a little bit. But it seemed that Enoch was a lonely man, and I don't think he was too popular, do you? I really don't. Look at the language. Look at the warning. He spoke continually of judgment that was coming. That's why I think he got the message about his son Methuselah, that there is a terrible judgment coming, and God is going to judge the apostate men and women. Remember, there was a knowledge of God. There were those, we believe, who called upon God. There was some little kind of revival before this time of those who called upon the name of the Lord. But that deteriorated. God said he was going to wipe out in judgment with the flood. And this was Enoch's message. Probably, we don't know. He might have been rejected by his own family. We don't know. But there is a price to pay when we are faithful and walking with the Lord. But thank God there are those rewards. Enoch got part of his reward already in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. This is the Holy Spirit's testimony 2,000 years later. Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. But before God took him, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Someday we're going to be out of here. The Lord's going to come, or we're going to die. I wonder if we can, any consciousness at all, that what we're doing is pleasing to the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we praise thee again and thank thee for your word. We thank thee that in this day in which we live, we have so much information and inspiration and challenge from all those that have lived before us. Thy word tells us that all these things that happened to them were for examples to us, upon whom the consummation of the ages have fallen. With all the equipment that we have and all the helps in understanding the Word of God, we ask ourselves the question, what manner of persons we ought to be. And as Peter tells us in his letter, seeing that all these things are going to be dissolved, all these things on earth, what manner of persons ought we to be, living in all holiness and godly lives? Father, again, we confess our shortcoming and pray that each one of us here today might renew our minds as to how far we are walking with thee and with our Lord Jesus. We often sing, it is glory just to walk with him. And we just thank thee again that this is the privilege of every believer to walk in him. Father, we pray that we might walk before thee, walk after thee, and walking in thee for testimony, for service, and for communion. Father, again, we ask thee to revive us in our hearts and our minds, that we may do as the Lord Jesus could say, I do always those things that please the Father. We thank thee for that he is the greatest example of one who walked with thee in total obedience even unto the death of the cross. And wherefore you have highly exalted him and given him that name which is above every name. So again, we just look to thee for thy help and grace. Give us an appetite for an understanding of your precious word, that we may walk before thee, well-pleasing in all things, as we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.